business is.
It looks like another week in the books with the On Deck TV podcast. It's the big show.
Hey, man, we're back in the saddle again. It's your man, Animal Brown, tapping in.
I am Spike Lou, and your shirt threw me off. It's the On Deck TV show.
Exactly. We got to get that updated.
Absolutely, man. How you feeling out there? NFL kicked off this week.
I don't want to talk about
how
it.
How did your Packers do?
I don't want to talk about it.
It was Packers Nation last week. Let's get it going.
I don't want to talk about it.
That's what I figured. Shout out them Cowboys, though. We showed up and showed out. Got robbed by the greatest ever, but it's cool.
It's cool. Cool.
We'll bounce back next week, man. I'm happy the NFL's back. I'm just happy to be here.
I am too, and I'm happy we are in the spaceship, like you said. We are in the studio, and you know what that means.
Absolutely. A big show, big guest.
We got a special guest, man, coming up on today's show. We are rapping with the one, the only, Glasses Malone.
Oh my God, man. I've been praising his podcast, whom I put on for the last month. So we reached out, they reached back, man. We're going to get him on live and direct. I'm excited about this.
Absolutely. But before we get to rap with Glasses, let's first talk. The BET Hip Hop Award nominations were announced. Now, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to go through a couple of these.
Okay.
And we're going to guess the winner. We're only going to go through a few because we don't need to go through all this shit. Best Hip Hop Video.
I don't believe, and we say this every year, but I'm going to double down on it. They still make, let's say it in unison, hip-hop videos?
Yes, easy.
I don't believe that.
Cardi B, Up.
Okay.
Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion, WAP.
That wins. All right, well, you don't have to read anymore. It's WAP. That is the best video of the year, yes.
Drake, Lil Durk, Laugh Now, Cry Later. No, Lil Nas X, Montero. And Saweetie, Best Friend. Oh, yeah, and Chris Brown, Young Thug, Go Crazy.
Yeah, all of that's cool. WAP.
That's
the video of the year, easily.
It's clearly Laugh Now, Cry Later.
That's WAP.
Going to the Nike store empty?
That's WAP, bro.
Oh, my God.
Nothing beats WAP. Nothing's ever going to beat WAP. You can take it to the bank, dude.
What you got?
What about Song of the Year? Back in Blood, produced by YC, my man Pusha T and Lil Durk.
You ain't got to read who's produced by.
I ain't got to read about who's produced by. Okay. No, Late at Night, Roddy Ricch.
Okay.
Laugh Now, Cry Later, Lil Durk and Drake.
Let's go.
Up,
Drake.
Cardi B, WAP, Stallion, and a whole lot of money. The remix with Nicki Minaj for Song of the Year.
Barbia. I'm going with Back in Blood, Pusha T and Lil Durk. The fact that a song like that could make it to radio is impressive. And it was on terrestrial radio and satellite radio. And Pusha T is a relatively new artist. Lil Durk has had a second wind since he moved to Atlanta and dyed his dreads. So I'm impressed on both accounts. I'm going Back in Blood.
That's a big song, man. It came out a little too early because it's a whole lot of money, and this motherfucker is everywhere. It was the song of the summer. She shook it. With London J is, I mean, Bia?
Yeah, for sure.
It's song of the summer. Easily song of the year. Love it.
That's a banging song, though. I'm not going front.
Banging.
They talking big boy shit
and
on that.
Then you went and
like
get Nicki on the remix? Let's go.
Next up, man, Sweet 16.
That's a nice. This is a dope category.
It is.
Best verse.
Best featured verse.
Right.
Which is even better.
Okay.
They've got Cardi B type shit off that Migos. They've got Drake Having Our Way also off that Migos. Jay-Z What It Feels Like off Nipsey's record. Dirk Back in Blood verse Megan Thee Stallion on Me, which is the Lil Baby remix. Or Roddy Ricch on the Lemonade remix from Internet Money. Who you got as the best featured verse?
I'm going with Cardi B type shit.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, she's going to be the fan favorite. She's going to win it. Jay-Z is not going to be there. I think they just put him in the categories just to say, hey, Jay-Z's nominated.
Yeah, rest in peace, Nip.
If you want to come, yeah, rest in peace, Nipsey Hussle. I don't think that'll win, though. I got to go Cardi B type shit. What would you say?
I got to go Drake Having Our Way. He ripped that.
Remind me again how that goes.
Don't do that. Let's not be disrespectful.
How does that go again?
We're not going to be disrespectful.
I can't remember.
Load up the Drake. What else are they going to play? Ooh, he killed the hook and the verse. Because he killed the hook and the verse, I got to give it to him. Easy.
All right. Let's go best collaborations.
Okay.
Or do you want to? Yeah, let's best collaborations. 21 Savage and Metro Boomin featuring Drake, Mr. Right Now.
I don't even like that song. I'm going to keep it real.
Nah, that ain't really nothing. the previously mentioned Bia, Nicki Minaj, Whole Lot of Money remix.
Mm-hmm.
Cardi and Megan Thee Stallion and WAP.
Jesus.
DJ Khaled, Lil Baby, Dirk, Every Chance I Get.
Okay.
Drake and Lil Dirk, Laugh, Cry Now. Excuse me, Laugh Now, Cry Later. And Pusha T and Lil Dirk Back in Blood. I'm going with Lil Baby and Lil Dirk. We heard that everywhere. Every chance we got, we heard Every Chance I Get.
Yeah, that's a fire 14. Song. And we've already got other songs in here winning other categories because they're recycling the same four records.
Yeah, they already know who's going to be there.
Per like, category,
they
dude.
Know who's going to be there and who's going to be, like, coming up to get the awards. They've already mapped all of this shit out, so that's why it's the limited names in the categories.
Yeah, it's a layup because Baby and Dirt also have a project together. They've got several records together. But I'll go with the Khaled record every chance I get because that song was tough. One of the best songs on that Khaled album. Last one, man. I want to go best. Let's go lyricist of the year. They got Benny the Butcher, Drake, J. Cole, Lil Baby, Megan Thee Stallion, and Nas. Who you got for lyricist of the year?
I gotta go with Benny. Because they have another one that says Hip Hop Artist of the Year.
That's
so
different.
Yeah, that's different. So if I gotta go with bars right there, this past year it gotta be Griselda. Because they built their brand on rapping.
Agreed.
That's my guy too.
I'm going Benny. He has established himself as the best out of Griselda, if you didn't already know. So yeah, I'm taking Benny for lyricist of the year too.
I feel some kind of way if I was Kanye and Conway and wasn't on this list though.
He should.
Y'all got me fucked up.
He's a competitive guy.
Y'all got me fucked up. Y'all gonna put Nas on here before me?
But man, let's put some respect on the GOAT's name though.
Nigga 100 years old, nigga. That nigga on here before me. Let's do Hip Hop Album of the Year.
Last one, please.
Last one.
Because we're not going to watch this shit anyway.
No, we're not watching this at all. It's back in Atlanta, though, so shout out to them. Hip Hop Album of the Year, A Gangsta's Pain, Moneybagg Yo. You ain't going to laugh at Moneybagg Yo. It's the top selling album of the year before Kanye and Drake dropped.
And that's my guy, but no.
Call Me If You Get Lost, Tyler the Creator.
Okay.
Culture 3, Migos.
Let's go.
Good News, Megan Thee Stallion.
Bay.
Khaled. It just says Khaled four times.
No.
Khaled, DJ Khaled. That's what the name of the album was. Savage Mode 2, 21 Savage and Metro Boomin, and The Offseason, J. Cole. Album of the year.
Yes. For right now, for this list?
Yes.
For the selection that they have given me to choose from?
Yes.
It's The Offseason, J. Cole.
I'm going with Tyler.
I'm trying to go against the grain.
I'm going with Tyler the Creator. For this list, like you said. If I'm doing my end of the year album list, it may change.
It's Drake.
But no, absolutely not. I'm going with this list, and they're robbing my guy Vince Staples. He should definitely be on this list. People like got him fucked up.
BET don't even know who he is.
That's nuts. That's why BET is in the situation that they're in right now. I do want one more.
Oh, my God.
Best hip-hop platform.
Okay. On deck.
Other than on deck.
Okay, go ahead.
So I wanted to throw that one in there mainly, and you stole it from me. So now we'll just pluffer through this. Complex Genius, Hip Hop DX, Hot New Hip Hop, The Breakfast Club, Shade Room, World Star, XXL.
Can I say nobody? Can we have a category where nobody wins?
We gotta win that one, right?
With all due respect to those involved.
Away with that one,
yeah, that's us. Yeah. Write us in.
Easily. All right, now I got my joke back.
All right, now we can get out of there, man. What we got next up, man? We got
next,
an anniversary.
It is the anniversary with 25 years.
Yeah, man.
Since Tupac passed, man. He was shot, of course, six days later. He died from the gunshot wounds in Las Vegas.
Allegedly, man. He may still be out here.
Might still be in Cuba making albums, doing his thing. But we're going to go with the mainstream news story for now. 25 years later, Tupac being dead, you being 52 years old and consuming hip-hop as an adult, is this the biggest story that hip-hop has? Is this the story for hip-hop?
In my generation, it is. It depends on what generation you're in. If you're me and you're an 80s baby, not a 60s baby, as you just tried to put on me, then it is Pac dying.
You graduated high school in the 80s.
Then it definitely is Pac dying. That's the biggest story that we've ever had. A lot of people like to say Nipsey, and maybe if you were late 90s baby, then that may hit differently or hit similarly. But now, for me, bro, Pac is the biggest story, and it's not a close second.
I don't even think it's just this generation. I think it still is, period.
If you were born in late 90s, it's not the biggest story.
Yeah, it is. It doesn't matter if you care about it or not. If you're talking about the overall genre of like hip hop, they still making movies about Tupac's murder today. I just seen a movie on Showtime that came out last year. It's 25 years later. All respect to Nipsey Hussle. I loved him, and that impacted me more probably than Tupac because I was of age. But I don't think that they're going to be making movies in 25 years about his past.
That's fair. Like, but I was going to say,
Tupac shit. And it was the first time that it happened in this genre. Like, you had Elvis and other people that died in rock, Kurt Cobain. Yeah. Like, it happened in other genres. This was the first time it happened on a wide scale in hip hop, so it's going to be the most impactful for me. I don't think anything has surpassed that yet. It's like, damn, everybody knows that you don't have to even be a fan of hip hop.
In its prime, too.
In its prime.
So that's really what did it. I was going to say, if you're a 2000s baby, then somebody like XXX would
do. Yeah, Triple X probably.
You know what I'm saying?
I would. That was the thing that I thought about. Probably him, or the other one is, what's your boy that was on the run for 2 years? He killed the people.
Oh,
the race.
Yeah.
That was pretty big. The race stuff was
pretty
true.
So, but if that's your mind, if your glory days and your biggest hip hop story is TK or whatever the fuck his name is running from the police,
man, that's the new generation.
You need an uncle to put you on game, dude.
That's the new generation, man. Let us know if you're younger than us what the biggest hip hop story of your generation. Hopefully it wasn't the race in TK. Hopefully that was not it.
Shit.
But I mean, hey.
Hey, but speaking of the anniversary of Tupac, man, passing away, what better guest than to have a West Coast representative on the horn with us today, man? Don't go anywhere, guys. We got Glasses Malone coming up right after this. Hey, man, we are back. See On Deck TV show. It's your man, Animal Brown.
I am Spike Lou.
Man, I told you we had a special guest from the West Coast joining us today. Glasses Malone, what's popping, sir?
Man, I'm cooling, man. I'm cooling, making the most out of the day.
We got a couple things we want to rap with you about. Of course, we're going to get into the podcast. We're going to get into a couple of current events. But just wanted to take it back just a little bit, bro. Growing up in Watts, man, paint the picture for me. What's it like growing up in Watts, bro?
A lot of ultra masculinity. A lot of people making up for lack of economics. You know, trauma, all the trauma people suffering, all that goes into masculinity. It's really rich though, the culture is rich. A lot of Southern influence still right there. It's a special place to be. Okay. It's even better to survive.
Some musical talent out of there too, right? Tyrese, a couple other cats.
So you got the Whispers.
Oh.
Whispers is from Watts. Half of the group Rolls Royce is from Watts.
Oh, word.
One of the main singers from the Platters is from Watts. Patrice Rushen, to some degree, is from Watts.
Mm. Now, growing up in Watts.
Watts Prophets, 103rd Street Band, Charles Mingus, Tyrese.
Do you get to take all of that in coming up in Watts? Like, what influences your music, and when did it start getting to hip-hop?
My music is all the soil. It really don't have nothing to do with other rappers or other musicians. I'm just really starting to get into that part of it now, where musicians are influencing what I do.
Paint a picture. I know when we're in Atlanta right now, grew up in Nashville. When I first came across your name, it was a joint that you had with Wayne. What happened when you first started rapping and leading up to the moment where you linked up with Wayne and Cash Money?
I think at that time, it was more about just being good. It had to be really good. There wasn't no practice to get to that level. So I just remember really honing my craft and being like as sharp of an MC as I could at that time. Putting together a CD. Beats wasn't on YouTube at that time. YouTube had came out when I first put out my CD. Mm-hmm. And producers for sure wasn't uploading free beats on there. So I remember spending almost $30,000 for my first mixtape.
Damn.
So you had to really commit to it.
That's out your pocket?
It was out my pocket. Probably about $21,000. My big homie Boo gave me $5,000. And my big homie Plug gave me $3,000. And my little brother K probably spent about $2,000 or $3,000 on the project.
So you $20,000 in on that project, that gets you to Cash Money Records to be able for them to notice Glasses Malone?
Nah, so I still was doing music being produced and engineered by a really talented guy that actually moved to Atlanta for a while, Guido. And he produced the majority of beats outside of those beats I spent money on and recorded me and engineered all of the music and made sure it sounded right. Big Face, who is Game's older brother, he A&R'd the project. Then we had to come up with a marketing plan and a way to make an impact. And we met up with a new cognac company coming up out of LA. And they actually pressed up to 40,000 CDs that we needed to move through the marketplace to make sure it made a splash.
I imagine you got a lot of game being around Birdman, Slim, and Wayne. Any valuable lessons they taught you about the music business or just business, period?
Birdman is probably the smartest businessman I ever met in my life, period.
Wow.
And that's cool. And all of the Jewish men I've met that owns all of these labels, some white men that I met that run distribution, a couple billionaires. I think Birdman is probably the most intelligent.
What and makes you
anything
say
I got from him was never stop working. Like, the work ethic is Cash Money Records.
With the work ethic, what else makes you say that, hey man, he's head and shoulders above what they got going on?
None of them started from negative.
And worked all the way up.
We all start from negative. We probably got a phone bill in our name when we was 2 or 3 years old. So to turn that into $2 or $3 billion empire is a different conversation. It's another thing meeting Jimmy Iovine. You know, his parents is, you know, starting off with something. Birdman's just really intelligent. And he's really wise beyond his years.
I know you said Big Face, A&R, that album that you said you spent the money on. What was the relationship like with Game? Were you guys close?
I wouldn't say we were close. But we fucked with each other.
Y'all came up in the same class, kind of.
Now, he was already about to blow by the time I was working on my CD. Like, my first tape came out after Documentary.
Okay.
So, but I learned a lot from him too, from Chuck. Chuck is, he's like an underrated student. I think we always rave about his MCing skills, but as a student, he's like, it's uncanny how fast he could pick things up and learn.
Yeah, I mean, that even goes back to the story he told about being in the hospital and learning the albums and learning how to rap. And you know what I mean? That lends right to that. That's crazy.
It kind of come off in his rap style, too. Like, he kind of mimics other people in his rap style. You can tell he learned some of that from, like, albums.
What's crazy is, I've never said this publicly, his rap name is The Game. And if you think about wrestling and Triple H,
yeah,
that was his original moniker. And he was like the perfect pedigree wrestler. I think that played into why The Game calls himself The Game as well. Got nobody it. Studies more styles than Game.
I like that. Speaking of the playing in, and we talked about how much Watch played into you as an artist and you just being Glasses, we're coming up on the anniversary of Pac. It's been 25 years. Now, your approach was different from what we usually see with Tupac. Would you contribute growing up in Watts, being like an original West Coast person, coming out with that perspective that you did with the single and the approach that you had about Pac? What would you attribute that to?
Honestly, I just never felt the song was about Pac. I know that sounds crazy because of the title of the song.
So you got his name in the title.
Pac is mentioned in the song. Well, I think the lesson is at its expense. I mean, I think the lesson is, it's tough. Like, it's like Romeo Must Die or John Tucker Must Die. John Tucker Must Die is not about John Tucker. It's about three girls who felt played by John Tucker. And now they want revenge and they're using another girl. So the film itself is about the four girls' story and what they've been through. Very minimal about John Tucker. I just think the cultural, like the norm of it all, it's a cultural norm. I think it just, he was at the expense. But I've made that song so many different times about people you just don't care about.
Mm-hmm.
They lose their life. I got killed in the same story. I got a song called No Sympathy with J-Ron, produced by my boy Metro. I get killed in the song, same story. I just think people don't care about, well, they don't care until the person dies that they love. I told that story probably 10 years, 11 years before I told Orlando Anderson's story.
Mm.
Were you surprised at the response to it? Right now, it's got over 10,000 dislikes, even though the song and video are fire. Were you surprised that people took it that way?
I just think we're going more into an emotional phase of living. People are so worried about their public image, so they don't want to say the wrong thing. Also, it's a confusion that when N.W.A. came out with Fuck the Police, that the community embraced it. And it's not true. Churches was against it. A lot of the political powers that's black was against it. Their parents was against it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So real hip hop is not necessarily favorable to the mainstream.
I've heard you say, speaking of embracing, I've heard you say that you were a fan of Pac's music. Did the West Coast embrace Pac as a person coming from the East Coast, then coming to the West Coast, repping it, Mob Tattoo? Like, how did the West Coast feel about him as a person and changing the brand, so to speak?
You mean changing the brand? I don't think people ever got a bar of Tupac repping the East.
Do you think that he was a good representation of the West Coast overall?
I think he's a great representation of any black man, period.
Nice. Okay.
I mean, a long line of black men, you feel me? Whether the story of Jesus, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali, same lineage.
Tupac. I can see it.
In this respective field, obviously.
I was going to say, if something like that happened today, people are big on being who you say you are. And I know friends that don't like Pac's music, because they felt like he was kind of code switching depending on, you know, the album, so to speak, and that he switched and turned into another person, which kind of got him in the situation that he ultimately was his demise. Is that accurate?
I think he really became the environment. I think he was a very young and impressionable person. Mm-hmm. He was a brother first, so he embraced all cultures. So when he went to that soil, he took in all the minerals. Saying, and he lived it out for real. When he was in the Bay, you know, he took it all in. Pause. You feel me?
Yeah.
All his experiences, he lived them up and down, completely, top to bottom.
That makes sense.
Did the movie do him justice?
Never watched the movie.
Wow.
Yeah. Why you didn't check that out?
No, everybody was talking about the reviews were bad.
It wasn't as bad as people were saying it was.
A good friend of mine's made it. I mean, Benny Boom has always been A1 with me. And then one of the producers of the film, LT Hutton.
Yep.
So I didn't like the reviews enough. So I was like, let me not watch the film. Like, I'm really big on people's opinion of art.
Opinion and what you just said bring up a good point, Glasses. I've been listening to the podcast for a while. People that listen to our show know I've been recommending it for over the last month, but I've been listening for longer than that. Were you hesitant, being that you are an opinionated person, going into podcasting? And talk about the difference in laying a bar down and going in there and laying an episode down, the difference in the freedom of that.
Harder to digest from a podcast place. You know, you put a beat and a melody behind any idea, it's so easier to digest. Much easier. Podcasting is like raw. Mm-hmm. It ain't no music back there. You can't jam to it. You just getting an opinion. And thank you for recommending it, man. I really be working hard on it.
Hey, man, you be doing your thing. Y'all get deep. And me and Animal Brown right here, as my co-host, we were talking before the podcast, wondering about like the backlash that you might receive. Cause you kind of keep it thorough on there. Like when you go back to the hood and you talking to the homies, like, do you get backlash? Do they be like, bro, you shouldn't have said that?
No, not from the homies. No. I get all my backlash from mainstream America. Yeah. Somebody from my hood, this all as advertised. This is who I've been the whole time. Anybody who know me, this the nigga I've been. It's just the mainstream. I think they more shocked that I'm honest and open with what I've processed.
Here's what stuck out to me. I listened to the snitching one, the conversation about snitching. And I love the format too, how it was more conversational, less interviewee.
Facts.
I fuck with that heavy. It reminded me because, and this is where I think it, and I want to get your opinion, does it get tricky when you're talking about real people and real things that have happened? Because it reminded me of 50 in the Ghetto Quran back in the day when people weren't ready for 50 to be telling some of the stories that he was telling, which I seem is more prevalent and more more open to now in podcasting.
As long as I'm not incriminating somebody, I'm good. Past that, I don't know. I'm not, one thing I decided 2 years ago, I wasn't gonna make friends no more. You either gonna fuck with me or you don't. There's no more space for indifference.
Yeah.
I can't allow people to exist in that realm that are like aware of my content. I'm not being honest. Like if people can remain indifferent, I'm not being honest.
So how does that conversation go with Charlamagne then and the Black Podcast Effect Network? Because, of course, there's sponsorship and there are things that go into it. Do you have that conversation with him and say, look, bro, like, are you ready for this? Like, I'm taking it to the wall. Or does he tell you, hey, man, you got to relax, Glasses?
No, he want me to be who I am.
Okay.
This is our normal conversations. If y'all talk to C, this is how we talk. I don't hold back none of my thoughts or opinion because I don't think I'm never disrespectful in my mind. I'm not insulting anyone. But if I say something about a particular artist that's in truth or a human being in truth, we can deal with the mirror.
But that's real, though. I think that's what makes your show good. That's why you stand out because it's not, I'm going to kiss this guy's ass or I'm not going to overly shit on him. I'm just going to tell you how I feel, bro. I ain't trying to protect a relationship. I ain't trying to protect any of that. And that's needed in the game. We definitely respect that. On that note, let's get into some hot events, though. Let's get into some people that you can shit on.
I lost 3 sponsorships.
I remember the last episode you were talking about that.
So far. Yeah. But I was like, homie,
why do you think that is, though? You think what's a hot button topic that you think causes such a emotion coming from people?
One of my statements about being transphobic and explaining it, people just don't want to. The truth is not an acceptable thing right now, especially when it's backed by intellect.
Give me an example of what you mean.
The fact that I'm transphobic, I have a genuine fear of trans people. People don't want you to admit that. They say, well, people might mistake what you're saying as hate. Right. And I'm like, I didn't say I hate trans people. So they want me to care about people's ignorance to terminology. So I just don't care.
I know one of the topics of discussion, man, that you have polarizing opinions on is Drake. And I'm a stan. I'm a Drake.
I don't even know. What's crazy is I don't know what's so polarizing about that.
No, I'm going to tell you what it is, bro. You're not us. You know, I'm just like you. I don't kiss his ass like everybody else. My co-host right here, they expect everybody to be in love with Drake.
And everybody
think Drake
right.
is fantastic.
Thank you. But you don't kiss his ass, though.
Listen, that's not the case.
That is the case.
I think you mentioned something about him not having culture.
So what I said was, he isn't hip hop. Hip hop is about culture from street urban. He's a mainstream rapper.
So can you give me an example of a rapper with culture?
Chief Keef.
Who?
Chief Keef.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
So I heard you saying that there's no Toronto in Drake's music. That's probably what the culture part you're talking about.
It definitely lacks a ton of Toronto.
Right.
Well, it lacks urban Toronto street.
Gotcha.
Toronto is a multifaceted place like Los Angeles. You could be in Brentwood, but you're not going to get an LA experience from our perspectives if you in Brentwood. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say Brentwood has LA culture. There's a Brentwood in every motherfucking major, you know, city around America. There's only one Watts. There's only one Compton. So culture just meaning flavor. You know what I mean? Like, he don't have flavor.
Oh my God.
Preach, brother. Preach.
Madonna don't have flavor.
The Drake Madonna comparison is nuts.
They're two uber successful American mainstream talents. With him being a Canadian, you know, that part of North America, and her, where she down from here. They both have a serious urban appeal and have pretty much been able to go around and to some degree colonize sounds. He could go to the
Houston
South and make a trap record. He could come to the West and make a Hy-Vee record.
Yeah.
He got boom bap, like started from the bottom.
Yeah. Now I'm with you. He can be in his chameleon bag. I think that's what makes him successful in turn and acceptable, because he talks to a lot of different people. That's fair.
That's a polite way of saying what he just said. He don't have culture.
Yeah, I don't know if you necessarily have to have that to be like I feel like pointing that out is pointing out his one weakness. That's like me saying Jay-Z cool, but he can't tell stories.
It's not a weakness.
Okay, I'm with you.
It's just an observation.
Like, why is it weak? Yeah.
Okay. Now, sometimes it comes off, is it? Because when we say something has no culture, bro, if we say chicken has no seasoning, that shit is trash. Like, I'm not eating that.
That's not necessarily true. Like, all food don't have to have a ton of flavor to be enjoyable. It could just be nourishment. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, do you think the beef, I'm putting air quotes, with Drake and Kanye is good for hip-hop?
Sure. Why not? Yeah. We know it's not gonna actually ever get serious.
What if an A&R came to you and said, "Glasses, man, I got this good idea, man. Y'all go beef with the dudes over there on the West. You from the East, man, and you'll sell a ton of records. Are you doing it?
Nah.
How is it different for you?
Shit, it's for real. For real. Nah, shit. It's not none of that. Certain things I'm not doing. Like, I'm not gonna brag about a bunch of money. I don't have it. I'm saying I don't got. I can lie and say I know how to fluff up the numbers to where I could be worth $60 million. That's my net worth. But then niggas might actually think I got $60 million, and I don't have to gun nobody down because I don't have $60 million.
You can't call the Bank of America line and have the $60 million going across the
you
voicemail.
Can't do the Rick Ross thing. Your balance is $60,500,000.
It's so easy to create that fantasy world that they all talking about. I mean, Drake can rap about having this fantastic mansion in Toronto and these private jets, right? He has his own thing. Why the fuck do you want to come rap about you getting that niggas and you willing to die about your raps? Bro, let the rare niggas have something. God damn, bro. You don't gotta just get everybody lame, cuz fuck. Now, you killing niggas too? Fuck. I done actually shot niggas. And now this should get no credence because Drake is shooting niggas in every rap. I was listening to, what's that song? No Friends in Industry?
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, this nigga is, it's hard as fuck, right? But it's like, what are you talking about, cuz? Are you really serious? But chill out, bro. Puff choke you out.
But to be fair, though, he's not the first A-list rapper to give a bar to in L.A. J. Cole just said Big Ass Chopper made God flinch. And he only said that because he was on the song with Nudie. So it fit the tone of the record.
Don't do the fucking record if you don't own a fucking chopper, bro.
So that was something that Norris... You sound like what Norris said. Norris said, I ain't even realizing niggas be lying and they rap until I started rapping.
I didn't know neither. But it's not the lying part. It's like you confusing the fans and then they start comparing you to the real thing. That's the issue. Like, and I don't necessarily have a personal issue. Nonstop is one of my favorite songs, as well as a Drake song. But the fact that he's rapping this nonstop shit or no friends in the industry and you won't say anything to offend anybody.
We know you're trying to get to it, man. Before we let you out of here, Glasses, give us your top three. Give us your top three rappers from the West Coast and then your top three, period.
Let me give you my top three favorite albums.
Okay.
Right? So you got The Shadiest One by Dub C.
I wasn't expecting that. I ain't
Street gonna lie. Gospel by Sugar Free. And 2001 by Dr. Dre. Huh.
Better than The Chronic?
You said favorite.
Gotcha. You're right.
So
you're
I
right.
think it's better.
For sure.
The best three albums is gonna be Doggy Style number one. It should be Death Certificate, but it's The Predator. Ice Cube. You know what's... Because I don't want to name a Tupac album because that one to come so easy. Let's say E-40 in a Major Way.
Whoa.
Okay.
Sprinkle me, man.
Those are like really staples that don't get the true credence. Those three albums. Doggy Style gets a lot, but it still don't get enough in my opinion.
I think that E-40 in a Major Way was the first... That was when he reached the South. That's when we heard it down here. That was the first time we heard about him.
That album was really special.
Facts. That's a fact.
100%, man. Hey, again, we appreciate you pulling up. No Ceilings is the podcast.
I'm about to come down there, man. Y'all in the A, right?
Yeah, we need you to come tap in with us, man. Come do an episode, sit in, we'll do the whole show with us.
So let's try to work on it for October, November.
Let's do it. Hey, man, we appreciate you.
Enjoy yourself, man. Man, we are back. See on Deck TV show. Great, great interview with Glasses Malone, bro.
Absolutely, man. I was so glad that that happened. You guys, I'm glad you got to experience that. Glad we got to experience it, man.
Shout out to Glasses, man. Make sure y'all check out the No Ceilings podcast, though. Don't sleep on that. Lou had gassed it up for several weeks, but he was right. It is fire. Make sure y'all go peep that, man. I give it to him.
I always pour the fuel on the fire stuff. I don't think I've had a bad recommendation since this show started.
That was the biggest cap of all time.
I don't think that's ever happened. Like, I'm undefeated in TV.
With that being said,
undefeated in TV recommendations.
We're going to get to these wins and these losses. We have a W first to Royce the 5'9", celebrating 9 years of sobriety, man. Big shouts to Royce.
That's dope, man. Royce always openly talks about him stopping drinking, how he's a different person, man. I thought that was really cool for him celebrating 9 years of that. He's also going to be featured on a podcast that talked about substance abuse in music. I can't think of the name of it next week. I'll have it for you guys. It's my put on, but be on the lookout for that. So shout out to Royce, man.
Absolutely, man. Another W out to the biggest boss, Rick Ross. He's got a new book. And he finally got his driver's license at 45 years young, man. Shout out to Rose.
It's a big cap.
You think he already had it?
That's cap. That's cap.
He said he's had over 100 cars.
and no license ever. That is big cap.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Rick Ross comes up with the wildest lies. It should be amazing. I ain't never had a license. I'm 50 years old.
Let's keep it real, though.
Like, every whip ever named a man.
When have you ever seen Ross driving?
He was driving in Aston Martin music video.
Was he?
Absolutely.
I don't believe that.
It had to be. Look that Aston Martin music video up.
An L, we're taking it to New York, guys. An L to the vandals who raided Pop Smoke's grave. Tried to dig him up.
That's disgusting.
Why? What are you doing?
I don't know if they thought he had maybe jewelry on his person when they buried him.
Motherfuckers, dude, man, they just go get a PPP loan or something. Like, go do something else, dude.
People rob graves, man.
That's crazy. That's
nuts. They vandalized it, robbed it, tried to pull his body out of there. Some people called security that was working at the graveyard. They were able to come, but the people were already gone once the witnesses saw it. So, man, a big L to them.
Are we sure these weren't ghosts? Like, I ain't working in no graveyard, bro.
I don't believe.
You working in a graveyard?
If the money is right, yes.
Man, fuck.
What do you have to be scared of?
Like, ghosts vandalizing, ghosts that vandalize graves.
Even again, to my point of why I don't like scary movies. Even if it is a ghost, what is it gonna do?
Nigga, haunt you. I don't. Who wants to see a ghost?
Oh my god, a ghost is gonna be here and scare me.
Do you think everybody's Casper? They're not all friendly.
What are they gonna do? It can't haunt do your anything. Ass, dude. Get the fuck out of here, dude. A ghost can't do shit. But be a ghost. That's it, dude. What am I scared of?
Oh, shit. I'm going to remember that, too. We're going to get you to apply to a damn...
I definitely ain't doing no Sixth Sense. What is it called? I'm definitely never doing any of that.
Oh, shit. On Decker of the Week, man, we're taking this to Patreon. Big shout out to our new patrons. First and foremost, Tracy, we see you. Got the Realville watch plan. That's access to everything. You can't beat that. And shout out to Charisse, also subscribe. So big shout out to y'all patrons, patreon.com/realville, man.
Y'all get on that Patreon train, man. It's about to be really, really fun for the fourth quarter, man. We're coming up with some great ideas from the Realville team. So be on the lookout for that. Make sure you go subscribe to the Patreon. It's about to get live.
100%, man. Stay tuned for more info on that. What do you have to put me on this week?
Man, my put on this week, again, I'm undefeated in TV shows.
That's not true.
My barber has tried to get me to watch C for the last 2 years on Apple Plus.
Okay.
And I finally started watching it, and it is... mildly above average. I like it. it is definitely worth streaming. I was like, everybody's blind, why would I watch this?
Yeah.
It took about 45 minutes into the first episode to be like, okay, this is kind of cool, the way they communicate with each other. I'm a big fan of world building. If it's got a cold little world around what's going on, then I'm cool with that. So
like Game of Thrones, Westworld,
even with something like Breaking Bad or The Wire. Like,
okay.
Baltimore played a role in The Wire. New Mexico was a role in Breaking Bad. Like, anywhere where you can, like, give me, like, you feel like you immersed in what's going on, I'm fucking with that.
That's fair. Big skip for me not watching C. But I will tell you to check out, go to Netflix. I know it's the anniversary of 9/11 just passed. People may be 9/11'd out, but I'm telling you, that Turning Point series on Netflix is complete flames. They breaking down what led up to 9/11, which was the first time that I had seen this. It dated back to the Cold War, the stuff that led up to it. That shit was crazy. They got footage I never seen. Y'all check that out. It's wild. My jaw was dropped damn near the whole episode. Yep, man. Make sure y'all check out that documentary. It is complete flames. We appreciate you guys for checking in. Another episode is in the books. Anything else before we get ghosts?
No, man. We appreciate you guys supporting and rocking with us. It's the On Deck TV show.
Holla.